Mary Lou Dixon sat in the front pew of the Christ Holiness Baptist Church, her eyes raised, watching the giant cross hanging over the pulpit as it was slowly being lowered to the floor. She nervously fiddled with the bracelet on her wrist as the cross, which had seemed so small hanging up at the top of the ceiling, started growing larger and larger as it descended in front of her like a broken bird.
"Drop her some mo'," the foreman said,
and the three men working the pulleys stopped, causing the cross to shake in the air. Its broken right arm, nearly snapped in two but for a few slivers of wood, tapped ominously against the side. The tapping reminded Mary Lou of a clock, ticking away time.
"Slow,"
the foreman instructed, using his hands to illustrate. He was the only English-speaking person on the four-man crew. The other men, Mexicans, were slow to understand his orders. They finally seemed to understand, though, because the cross began its journey to the floor once again, finally resting on the carpeted stage. The Mexicans genuflected, and Mary Lou wondered if this was entirely appropriate in the Christ Holiness Baptist Church of Lahar, Georgia. The cross was a simple wooden affair, lacking a Jesus, but with a fine polish that shone in the morning sun. It was hardly the ornamental affair most Catholics were used to exalting, if that was what Catholics did. Mary Lou had no idea. She had been at Christ Holiness for the last 20 years, and before that, Lord and Savior, which was two steps below primitive and one above snake handling. There were plenty of contractors who attended the church, but none of them had volunteered their time. Bob Harper, who had been a deacon for the last 10 years, owned his own construction company, and he was still over $500 more expensive than the black man and his crew. He had said that the job was too small to make it worth his time. Mary Lou had commented that she was glad Jesus had not felt the same way about the crucifixion, but Bob had not been swayed by her remark. So here she was with this godless foreman and his Catholic Mexicans trying to get the cross repaired before Easter Sunday with no help whatsoever from the capable men of the congregation. This was typical of the church lately. Long gone were the times when people happily volunteered to do routine maintenance or send out mailers to collect donations for the foreign missionaries. No one visited the sick in the hospital anymore. No one wanted to go on the Bible retreats unless they were assured there would be a pool and upscale accommodations. The last two anti-abortion rallies had been canceled because the weather report predicted rain in Atlanta, and no one wanted to stand out in the rain.
"Mrs. Dixon?"
the black man asked. His name was Jasper Sanders, she knew. He was a dark-skinned, older man with a shaved head that showed a significant amount of perspiration despite the air conditioning in the church. There was something shifty about his perspiration, as if he was up to no good. He had done nothing but stand and direct the crew all morning, yet he was perspiring as if he'd run a marathon. Even though Mary Lou had been watching the black man from the moment he entered the church, she still did not trust him.
"Ma'am?"
he prompted.
"Yes?"
Mary Lou answered, shifting in the uncomfortable pew. She put her hand to her stomach to calm it and try to compose herself. He walked toward her, down the stairs that lined the stage. There was no need for him to do this. Obviously, she could hear him just fine. But he kept walking until he was about 3 feet away, standing over her, as if to intimidate her. Mary Lou squared her shoulders, willing herself not to fidget. He was a tall man, and he loomed over her in such a way that made her want to curl into herself.
"Sorry,"
he said, smiling as he kneeled on one knee in front of her. Mary Lou recognized what he had done. Since she would not admit that she was uncomfortable with him standing over her, Jasper had forced the issue himself.
"What is it?"
she asked, sounding irritated. The man had been burned badly not too long ago, and up close his face was a synthetic-looking mess, the skin stretched unnaturally in places, the pigment too light in patches around his cheeks, so that from afar he looked as if someone had painted him up as a clown. He had no eyebrows or eyelashes, giving his eyes a perpetually startled look. His hands, too, were scarred,